Yeah. So we're busy now getting the scriptures that we can take and spend throughout the week. We can meditate on certain scriptures so that the Holy Spirit really opens it up. So it's no longer just an intellectual sharing the gospel, but it's alive within us. And as we share, the life of the Holy Spirit really ministers and touches people's lives. And previous Sunday we spoke, it was Father's Day, but we were speaking very much about the reality of serving God from our spirit and how the Holy Spirit communicates with our spirit, Abba Father. And so we are learning to really begin to understand how to live from our spirit. How do we serve God in our spirit and no longer just from the soul dimension or the body kind of thing, but from the spirit we're serving God, and that's what we're busy looking at. And that opens up another realm of understanding the truth of we've been raised with Christ. It opens up an understanding and a lifestyle of what it means to this new life in Christ, what it means to be seated with Christ, what it means to be a kingdom of priests and all that. When we live from the spirit realm, all of these things come alive, and it's no longer just, oh, what's that mean? But we start to live in that over there. And that's where we start to really experience thy kingdom come, that will be done on earth as it is heaven, because our Father who is in heaven, and we start to see that becoming more and more tangible. And we go back to a few weeks back where we started to speak about the abiding in Christ, His word abiding in us, we will bear much fruit, because this brings glory to our Father. So all of this is, as we learn to live with our spirit, because we got born again, spirit gave birth to spirit, and we weren't really discipled on how to keep on living in that reality of God's spirit giving birth to our spirit. It's so easy to get back into the habit of just our own soul dimension and these kind of things. So we are learning to, in our growth now, to really operate from our spirit. And by the power of the spirit, Paul says that they put to death the misdeeds of the body. See, it's only by the spirit, our willpower and our own ability cannot put to death all the sinful desires. It controls us. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we put to death that, because there's a law of the spirit of life that works, that overrides the law of sin and death. And so these are the things we need to go into, so that when you're sharing the gospel and you've got confidence to know that when they receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit giving birth to their spirit, you've got to know that there's a new law that's going to be operating in their lives. And now you're going to help them to understand how to live in the reality of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and no longer the law of sin and death. So all of this is part of the journey of us discovering the powerful truth of the gospel. So for us, it's no longer just the simple gospel presentation. It's no longer just for us just to tell and that God so loves you and that, you know, there's a heaven and there's a hell. There is far more insight to why they need to hear the gospel, to why they need, because many give their life to Jesus because they're living in a problem life and they just want to find a solution, but they don't understand the reality of what sin's all about really. And so it's the parable of the sower. Wow, it's awesome over there, and it's not long when they're back and they sort of lost all that joy and things like that. So I want to start off with, it was Pentecost Sunday when I was praying early in the morning, and that is when, as I was looking, okay, because it's spirit to spirit, as I'm looking at Christ's death and Him on the cross, that is when I could see the reality of Christ being crucified, but in Christ, I see the throne of God. In Christ, the throne of God Almighty and the glory of God being expressed as His Son is on the cross. So I see the incredible reign, the throne, the rule, the supremacy of God, all of that being expressed through his son on the cross. So that the death of Christ Jesus is not just the death. There's something so deep and powerful that was taking place. The reign, the throne of God is there. And what God is busy doing through his son Jesus in making what was evil, restoring, and all these things taking place, we start to see a far greater picture in these things. So when we're speaking about in Psalm 89 and verse 14, where we speak about the reality of the throne of God being established on the foundation of righteousness and truth, or righteousness and justice, and how his love, and one of the translations put it quite nicely, his loyal love and his faithfulness characterize his rule. And that's profound, because we see the reality of God's throne. We see the throne speaks about his supremacy, speaks about God as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the rulership of God. He speaks about the sovereignty of God over all things, speaks about his holiness. He's not part of this world. He created this world and how he rules. So when we start to see the reality that our God, how he is ruling not only just mankind, but all of created beings, the angelic realm, the fallen angels, Satan, the whole creation, we see the throne of God in his son. All things were created by him, through him, for him. We see all that taking place when you look at Christ on the cross and you begin to understand what was taking place. What was taking place when we see Jesus on the cross fulfilling Isaiah chapter 53, where we see Christ as a man, fully God, but as a man being on the cross, and we can see the justice of God, we can see the righteousness of God, we can see the wrath of God, we can see the manifestation of God's righteousness being placed upon Jesus Christ instead of us. And all of a sudden we'll start to understand a little bit more of the incredible reality of this gift of righteousness that we have in Jesus. So we want to continue a little bit on this theme this morning. When we speak about the righteousness of God, well, let's go to Romans chapter 1 first. Let me just read the context that we're focusing on at the moment. Paul is speaking about the good news of God and concerning his son Jesus Christ. And then as he's sharing, we see the Paul writes in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For in this gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith. And then he carries on, the wrath of God is being, it's a continuous reality, is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men and who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So we see there that in the context of this gospel, God doesn't deny the fact that there's a justice taking place and his wrath is upon people. Because many people would say today, God does not judge, because that's old covenant. But we see here straight away there that God continuously releases his justice upon mankind. And so here we have an amazing truth here where we see there that this good news of God, there is a righteousness of God that is revealed. In other words, when we're starting to look at God's righteousness, the definition does not define God. Crucial. Because man's definition of righteousness depends on culture, it depends on the years that we're living in, it depends on society's opinions, it depends on governments, it depends on so many things. And we all try and operate righteousness from man's definition of righteousness. No. God defines the definition of what righteousness is. So our starting point is God. Not what man says is what righteousness. Look at our constitution, the so-called constitution, what is right in the eyes of society. And it opens up, it's totally, there's so many things there that's contradicting God's standard of moral, blameless perfection. Okay, so God is the standard. And we've got to realize God is the standard. Because otherwise what takes place, and for years you've got that movement in the body of Christ where we compromise, where we have the seeker-friendly kind of services, and we water down the righteousness of God because we don't want to offend. And so we allow all kinds of unrighteous behavior in the body of Christ, and we allow these things because we've got our own standard on what society says is right. No, that's not what we're speaking about. When we're sharing the gospel, we've got to know God's standard. We've got to know something on how He has revealed Himself throughout scriptures of what His righteousness is all about. So we're speaking about God being blameless. We're speaking about the purity of God. We're speaking about the holiness of God. We're speaking about how He is light. There's no darkness in God. We're speaking about how in everything that God does, it is absolutely pure and blameless. The way He thinks, the way He speaks, the way He acts, the way He's acted throughout history and how He's going to be, what He's doing in the future. Everything is totally, totally, totally perfect in accordance to the reality of who He is. He cannot deny Himself. So there's a standard there. Our definition is not the standard. God is the standard. And we get our definition as the Holy Spirit reveals to us the righteousness of God. Because in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed to you and I. So this morning, do you know that our Lord Jesus is here? He, if you want to find a definition, righteousness is a person, Jesus Christ. Righteousness is a person, God, the Father. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that is why we begin to understand the reality of how we define righteousness. We have to look at Him. We've got to get revelation by the Holy Spirit. And that is what we are seeing here about this incredible gospel. So when we're looking at, for instance, the word justice, justice is the outworking, the administration. That's a good word. Justice is the administration of His righteousness. That's what it is. Justice is the administration of what is right in the eyes of God, who He is. And that's profound, because when we start to look now at the cross of Jesus and we start to see why righteousness and justice was fully met in His Son Jesus Christ as the God-man, you'll start to see something very, very important for you and I in understanding the message and the ministry of reconciliation. Because what God has done over here. So there's quite a few scriptures that we need to look at over here. When we're speaking about the justice of God, it's huge. A lot of the time when we speak about justice, our mind goes to social justice most of the time. And we can see throughout history how the body of Christ has been very involved in social justice. So that's part of the ministry of reconciliation. And we see with sex slaves, we see with with all kinds of oppression, the body of Christ often has played a major role in being a voice and being actively involved in rectifying that which is wrong. We see that taking place. We see some, they have got a powerful anointing with a message of reconciliation, and how many, many people, stadiums come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we see the reality taking place. And so when we're starting to look at more and more of this reality of God's justice, We're looking at something specifically this morning where it is God Himself who is making right the wrongs that came in the garden. It is God Himself who has taken the initiative in sending His Son Jesus Christ to rectify what took place in the Garden of Eden that affected all of mankind. It is God Himself who is making good that which is wrong and evil. And that's important to understand when we're looking at the message and the ministry of reconciliation. God Himself, who is reconciling the world, who are enemies of God, back to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that begins to open up something very, very profound when we start to see the throne of God is established on the foundation of righteousness and justice. If we begin to understand in the name of Jesus, you and I now, because we've been raised with Him, we are co-heirs with Him, seated with Him in the heavenly realms, where the throne of God is founded on the righteousness and justice that was taking place of the Father upon His Son Jesus Christ, so that now that which is evil now can become reconciled back to God. And so when we look at, for instance, there in the Garden of Eden, where Satan comes and he tempts Eve, and Eve is deceived. Reconciliation, justification, the justice of God now, because Adam and Eve, God gave them a command and said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. So what took place? There's a standard of God's righteousness. God has given a command. Adam and Eve, Eve gets deceived, Adam disobeys God. And God said, if you eat of this, you will surely die. So the justice of God, straight away, you will die out of the garden. God took His Spirit from them and they became spiritually dead. Christ came, God's solution, God's justice. Because God is a righteous God. He cannot overlook that sin. He cannot overlook mankind. God then sends His Son, Jesus Christ, so that once again we can see how Christ, when He was tempted, He was not deceived. See, rectifying, making good that which brought disaster to mankind. And we see there that Jesus was not deceived. Where Adam disobeyed God, Jesus says, Satan's got that hold over me because I do exactly what my Father does. See, again, how we see God's righteousness standard, not compromising, and the justice, the outworking, the administration of Him not compromising through His Son Jesus, who was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, who did not have the Adam nature, to correct and to bring about the goodness, to restore back what was lost because of Adam's disobedience. So that's important for us to understand as we're sharing the gospel with people. So let's look at some scriptures in Romans chapter 5. And we read there in verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and this way death came to all men because all sinned. So we see straight away that this is God's a righteous God. You have sinned. You've fallen short of my glory. We'll look at that now. And this is the consequence of my justice is a death sentence to you all. So justice is carried out through one man. So we see the reality of what took place with Adam's disobedience. Many people will come to you and I And if you had to ask him this question, what would, you know, that famous EE3, if you had to die, why would God allow you to come to heaven? And many would say, I've been good. You know, I haven't murdered, I haven't done this and that. I'm decent, I'm a good citizen, blah, blah, blah. I'm a good family person, etc., etc. But all of a sudden we see here that because of Adam, all have sinned. And therefore death came to all men. So now you know, when they answer you like that, now you know, but God's words say something different. They don't yet realize what sin is, because sin is lawlessness, sin is disobedience to God. And so people will come and you have to ask him the same question, why would God allow you? And they would say, no, God won't allow, because I'm just a sinful person. I've done this and that. So they're aware of their sinfulness. And so they are in agreement with truth, and that's much easier now to share with them. Okay, now you can actually agree with them. You are awfully sinful, eh? and you can agree because that's the truth. But you can say, but I can share with you God's good news. And now you can start to bring in the gospel of what God has done for them in dealing with that situation that they're finding themselves in. So we read over here in verse 16. There's many, many scriptures that you can go through here. But in speaking about now this gift. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed, yes, his justice, sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many transgressors and brought justification. Trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And so we can carry on and seeing these scriptures, and that's why you take the scriptures down, spending time in them will really begin to open up. So we have, for instance, in Romans chapter 3, and that's also a well-known scripture that you may be familiar with, where Paul is writing and he's speaking about that there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away, etc. And we see there that he continues to speak about the condition of all of mankind. But then he says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. Again, the revelation in verse 17 of John 1, verse 17, to which the law and the prophets testify. Now listen to this. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. And then carries on about the blood of Christ who made the atonement, because God is a just and righteous God. Interesting, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God's righteous standard. All mankind have fallen short. Except for one. Christ. The righteous one. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Who was not in that bloodline of Adam, where death came and reigned. That's not Jesus. By the Father, the life, sinlessness, holy, righteous. So here we see that there's one man, Jesus Christ, fully God, but here we're looking at him as the man. Here we see he's the only one who did not fall short of the glory of God. Only one. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way to be justified. There's no other religious leader that is sinless. All have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no other structure. There's no other system. Nothing. All fall short of the glory of God. Here we see God's incredible gift, a righteousness that he has revealed to mankind, his son Jesus Christ, walking on this planet earth. And here we see him alone is the one that fulfilled and never fell short of the glory of God. Therefore, because he did not fall short of the glory of God, he is the way for us to be saved. And because he did not fall short of the glory of God, he does not carry the wages of sin, which is death. That's not his verdict. He brings life. So again, you see that the righteousness of God cannot compromise about sin. Now we see the outworking administration of God through his son Jesus Christ, sending his son to the righteous one so that he takes our place, the wrath of God, the punishment, the justice of God upon his son Jesus Christ. So you and I, by faith, we receive by faith that gift. Christ is the righteous one. What he did on our behalf. And that's the moment where we now enter into the reality. There is no condemnation for those who believe. Now we enter into the reality of when God says, you have been justified by faith, declared flawless. Because now you're in my son who never fell short of my glory. We are in him. You and I live in the reality of never falling short of the glory of God because we are in Christ Jesus. What an incredible truth for us. No condemnation. Flawless. Justified. And the Father is calling us to begin to live more and more in the reality of who we are in the Spirit. There's the authority to rule and to reign. Because we're beginning to understand more and more that in Christ Jesus, who never fell short of the glory of God, we too now are in that realm. We've received that as part of the gift of righteousness. And that's why we can have fellowship with God. That's why we can, that's why the Spirit of God come and dwells within us. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why we can speak, we can have intimacy with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because of what Christ has done and how he deals with us now in his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world. You see, again, that's a powerful scripture. But what's the starting point? For God. God is the starting point of our message. For God so loved the world. How does he show his love? He's a righteous God. He's a just God. But he's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. So when we look at the throne of God, it's not just his righteousness and justice. It's his fullness of who he is. The throne of God. But we see now what Christ has done. So that now once again, through Christ Jesus, you and I have the message and the ministry of reconciliation because of what justice is all about. The administration of what is right. Restoring what was destroyed by sin and death. Where the law of sin and death operates in every human being, you and I now can come with the incredible, powerful truth of God's gospel, what Christ has done for mankind. And as they receive, the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit of God, to their spirit, as they receive that, now there's a new law, so that they no longer have to live that miserable life, totally controlled by sin. But now they can begin to live a life where the Spirit of God is now releasing the life of Christ within them. Totally different life. Totally different life. So when we've died with Christ, now we've been raised in order to live a new life. Because of what Christ has done. This is the miracle of us being born again. This is the miracle. This is the good news that you and I have to share with people. This is the good news when people come to you and they are so enslaved. If you go through Romans 7, it's profound to understand this. Spend time in Romans 7. And you'll see there where Paul says, oh, what I want to do, I can't do. I know what is right within the eyes of God, but I keep on doing this stuff over there. It's not me, it's the power of sin operating within me. When we understand just how powerful sin is in our body, and we've got no control, we are slave to that. There's no ways we can break free from that power of sin. When we understand that, and we realize that was my life, sin controlled me. No matter how I try to make it, I could say, well, I've broken free, Lord, I've done that, but I'm just captured somewhere else in my life. And then, oh, I'm breaking free, I'm just captured somewhere else. Sin's controlling no matter what, just different manifestations of it. And we realize just how powerful that is, and the people that we're working with, the people we're living amongst, that is the thing that's controlling that power of sin. There's no escape from that power of sin. Only escape as you and I share the gospel and they receive Christ and what Christ did in breaking that power, and we have the nature of God now operating it. So now as we go by the keep in step with the Holy Spirit, we do not gratify that. Then we start to understand how God in His incredible grace through His Son Jesus, the righteous God who could not accept us because we are enemies of God because of sin, He cannot compromise. He had to administer justice. That's why there's a hell. He has to administrate his righteous anger, his justice, etc. But in Christ, those who believe in Him have eternal life. But those who do not believe in Him stand condemned already. Now, even go deeper if you want to. When Jesus says that when I leave, I'm going to ask the Father, and that's going to bring you the Holy Spirit. And it's good that I'm going. And He carries on, and He said, but when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of the of sin. What is the sin of unbelief? People will come and say, oh, I've done a sin, I've done this and that there. But you've got to begin to say, the real sin is your unbelief. That's the real sin that the Holy Spirit is really speaking to you about. Not believing in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't believe in Christ Jesus, you're condemned. It's good news, but we can't compromise the gospel anymore. We can't be nice to people. Too many people go to hell because we're too nice and not speaking. That sin is sin. The only way out of sin is faith in Christ Jesus and getting that gift of righteousness as a free gift. That's the only way for you. He carries on and he says the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, the sin of unbelief. He'll convict you of righteousness because I'm going back to my Father. Because Jesus never fell short of the glory of God. That's why there's a resurrection. Sinless. Only the righteous are raised from the dead. The wages of sin wasn't His reality. He died for us. Again, the Holy Spirit convicts of righteousness. And then justice. The Holy Spirit will convict them of judgment because Satan has already been condemned. The justice of God. So you can see how the Holy Spirit's ministry, as we share in the gospel, you can see how the Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin, of unbelief, of righteousness, and of judgment. God's justice. I would encourage us all to really take hold of these scriptures and begin to realize, Lord, show me more. I don't want to just speak shallow stuff anymore. There's too many people that are lost. I want to speak and I want to tap into the power of God for salvation. I want to speak from that place that now that I've been raised with Christ Jesus and I'm seated with Him, the throne of God, the rule of God, the kingdom of God, thy will of God come on earth. Seek first the kingdom of God, the rule, the throne of God, and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. I want to speak from there. I want to proclaim, I want to witness from that position of being in Christ Jesus. To know that the rule of God is established on the justice and the righteousness that was satisfied in His Son, Jesus Christ. So that the power, the rule, the kingdom, the reign of God can manifest. And here in this wicked world, that which sin came and destroyed, now we come with the gospel, now we come with the light, now we come with the ministry and the message of reconciliation to once again to take that which is evil and to see that come to an end and see the righteousness of God being established on earth as it is in heaven. So be understanding that prayer of Jesus, thy kingdom come, the throne of God established on the foundation of righteousness and justice that was fully met in His Son Jesus Christ, so that you and I on earth can now receive that which is done in the name of Jesus. And many here will experience the call of God, and you will recognize evil, you'll recognize the injustice taking place. But now you're not going to go in the good works. You're not going to go in the man-made abilities. Now we want to go in the power of the cross of Christ, where the power of God is involved in rectifying and overturning and reconciling things back to the Father, to His standard of righteousness. It's different. And we look around and we see the condition of lives. We see so much destruction taking place. God's sharing with us, listen, I'm showing you these things, but the solution, I want us to walk. I want you all. I want us as the family of God. He's saying to us, I want us all. I want you to be able to live and walk in the demonstration, the administration of the power of the gospel. To set the captives free. And so forth. And I know that now let me not go there. It's not yet time. I know you will find, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, that many will not want to take this that I'm sharing. It's too hard. Not easy. We rather play church. We rather just do things that satisfy and make us happy being together and things like that. But there are many here, all of you here this morning. It's not us. For us, it's about God loves the people of this town. There's so much injustice taking place in this town. The injustice of sin. We see the injustice of Satan's hold over people. We see the wickedness taking place where people are controlled by the drug lords who have enslaved people into sex trade because they need the fix. We see all the evil taking place in homes and brokenness. We see the drug abuse. We see children being molested. This is our world that we're living in. This is our town that we're staying in. And God said many, many years ago, the church is here in a town because I love the people of the town. Purpose. Why do we exist? Why is the church in the town? Why is the family of God in the town? And we're getting back to the cross. What God has done through His Son Jesus on the cross. We're getting back to the reality of here we are. the Great Commission. And it's not about ourselves and our little pleasure boats and our cruises. It's about the mission of God for you and I. You still enjoy life. But the motive, there's a purpose that is calling us unto. So it's a serious note. I'm serious, unfortunately. When you see too many things in the spirit realm and you see the body of Christ sleeping, not caring, it breaks your heart. And then you've got to speak out. So encourage your friends that are Christians to speak out. Amen. We're going to be having communion. And it's a celebration today of the body, the way that in His Son Jesus Christ, God's holy perfection and His justice was fully satisfied in His Son Jesus. The word propitiation, atonement, is that the God's wrath over mankind was satisfied in His Son's sacrifice. And us who believe entered into that reality are now friends of God. No longer enemies. We are now children of a Father because of what Christ did. So Father, thank You that we could celebrate today Your incredible life. Thank You, Jesus, that we can know You. And when we speak about righteousness, we're not speaking about a definition. It's You. And here this morning, Lord, it's You are the righteous one. And because of You, we have, in Your grace, You shared with us and we simply believed. And now we have become the righteousness of God. What a powerful reality that is for us. So Father, it's such a joy that we can eat with You. It's such a joy that we can fellowship with You this morning because of the gift of righteousness that we have received. It's mind-blowing when we begin to understand that because of this gift, we're no longer in that category of we have fallen short of the glory of God. Because we are in Your Son, who never fell short of Your glory. What a joy to know acceptance. What a joy to know what it is to be loved by You. What a joy to know the safety and the peace and the future that we have. What a joy to know that when this fleshly body dies, what a joy to know that that's not the end. And we want to thank You this morning, Jesus, for what You did. Lord, I'm asking that as over the next couple of weeks, as we spend time and we meditate on these scriptures, I'm asking that we will just see the depth of Your love for us and what You did in coming to this earth and how You gave Your life for us. You are the righteous Son of God. We were not. And how You came so that there can be this most incredible exchange taking place where You took upon Yourself our sin so that we could be declared righteous. Thank You, Jesus, for that. I'm asking that we will become very conscious of Your presence in our lives. We will become very conscious of Your sacrifice. We will become very conscious of what You did for us and the victory and the celebration of this new life. But also showing us, Lord God, and letting this love of Yours compel us to be able to share the gospel and to help many, many people. So Father, all of us have got people that we've been praying for salvation for many weeks now. We've brought their names before You. We've spoken about this together with You, and You've spoken to us about them. We've had these conversations taking place. And Father, today I'm asking that this will be a day where there will be opportunities to be able to communicate in a way. So draw the people that we've been praying to, Father. Draw them to your Son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, work in their hearts. Reveal to them. Make them conscious of the sin of unbelief. Let them become conscious that they do not believe in you, so that they will realize that, because you're the only way to be saved. Father, we ask that when people hear the name of Jesus Christ, whether it is through blasphemy, whether it is through whatever means, but as they hear your name, Lord Jesus, the name above every other name, we ask, Holy Spirit, at that very moment, whether it's in the thing of blasphemy, swearing, whether it's in curse words, whatever it may be, we ask that that will just shake and become alive and just blow up in their midst. So they this, wow, there's something about this name, Jesus. We ask in every satanic coven today where rituals are taking place and they're cursing the name of Jesus. The moment the name Jesus is mentioned in the cursing and all that attack against the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that today will be the day where that name Jesus comes so real to them that the fullness of Christ will manifest in the midst of the covenant activities and the sacrifices. And we thank you for that. Lord, we ask in the church services in our nation and the nations where the name of Jesus is proclaimed, today we ask, Father, that when the name of Jesus is mentioned, whether it is in a religious context, whatever it may be, but today, Lord Jesus, your name will be so alive that people will know that you are in the midst of them and that they will know that you're not just a name, you're not just a definition, but you are real. So, Father, glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. Glorify his name here on earth, Lord. Make him known, Father. We need you to do this, Father, as we do our part in sharing and proclaiming. And we need you by your Spirit to reveal the name of Jesus, the person Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to all of mankind. So, Father, we eat it and we ask him this so that the name of your Son will truly be exalted above all names in the lips and the hearts of the men and women of our towns, of our nation. In Jesus' name, amen.